A new study produced this statistic. Last year, there were twice as many American children with an unemployed parent than there were in 2007. The result of that? Well, for one thing, kids with unemployed parents are 15% more likely to repeat a grade. And it means more kids living in poverty. The Annie Casey Foundation today released its annual Kids Count report, and the news isn't good. The charity says the child poverty rate went up 18% between 2000 and 2009, up most dramatically after the economic downturn toward the end of the decade. Patrick McCarthy is the president and CEO of the nonprofit Annie Casey Foundation. And Patrick, it would seem to be obvious, but what do you attribute this to? Why this rise?
Well, the obvious answer is that the recession has wiped out a lot of the economic gains that kids and families made in the 1990s. We've seen that from 2007 and to 2009, there's just been a steady increase of the percentage of children in poverty.
Well, Nevada was particularly hard hit.
Nevada was especially hard hit with the foreclosure crisis. Compared to North Dakota, where only 1% of children were affected by the foreclosure crisis, in Nevada, 13% of all children living in Nevada have been affected by the foreclosure crisis between 2007 and 2009. That's not even counting what happened in 2010 and 2011.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that you take into consideration? I mean, how do you determine poverty? We know that there are some numbers, about income, for instance, but what else are you looking at?
We use the federal poverty level as our basic level of poverty because it's what the federal government uses and it's what most states use. It's an imperfect measure. They essentially use a formula based in the 1960s where they took what families spent on food for just a subsistence level and they multiplied that by three because back then families spent about a third of their income on food. The trouble with that measure, of course, is that today there are many other things that enter into the family's budget. Food is only 1/7 of the family's budget, but now child care for families where both parents are working, transportation, the cost of housing, the cost of health care, all of those things have gone up at a much higher rate than food since the 60s. So the federal poverty level has the advantage that it's consistent, but it has the disadvantage that it doesn't really capture all of what poverty is about.
Yeah.
So perhaps a better measure are the percentage and number of families that are 200% of poverty. And that's a very, very disturbing number. We've seen that that number has grown to 31 million children now living in low-income families. That's over 40% of all the children in the United States.
Now, that's incredible. And there's a spectrum, of course. Mississippi, I think it's for the 10th year in a row, has the worst statistic here. 31% of its kids getting by on, small family budgets. And that's just 31%.
Perhaps not coincidentally, when you look at the other measures of child well-being for Mississippi, it ranks at the very bottom of the country on all of the indicators. Most of the indicators that we look at, its overall ranking is 50th out of the 50 states. At the same time, those states that are doing better in terms of child poverty rank up towards the top in terms of child well-being. So child poverty really is a big predictor of lots of other bad things for kids.
Yeah, New Hampshire is number one.
Number one, that's right.
Minnesota, Massachusetts, they're up there. Vermont in the top rankings. And so obviously joblessness has this huge impact on kids, but so does education because you say, for instance, Nevada has its challenging record on kids because of what are understood to be low-performing schools. 11% of Nevada teenagers not in school hadn't graduated from high school in 2009. That's the worst rate in the country. 11%, that's compared to New Hampshire, only 3%.
That's right. And again, that's a statistic that is just looking at teens between the age of 16 and 19. It's not really a measure of the dropout rate, but it is a measure for that group of children who basically ought to be in school and they're not. It actually is an underestimate of the impact of the dropout rate because it doesn't include those young folks who may technically be enrolled in school, but they're not really attending. So to have an 11% rate is really a quite disturbing statistic.
Well, would you say nationwide, actually the high school dropout rate has declined, as have infant mortalities, child and teen deaths, so there's some good news there. You credit food stamps, unemployment insurance, foreclosure mediation with, preventing, acting as a dam against some poverty. But you also recommend things like investing in schools. Boy, in the current political climate, it seems as if states are going in the opposite direction.
Well, it's a really tough time to be encouraging investments, even investments in children. But look, it's just important to keep in mind that a time of deficit reduction and dealing with the debt is really a time to focus. And what we would encourage policymakers to do is to focus on three things. As they look at all the ways that government may spend money, what's the most important investment? What are the investments that are most likely to be cost-effective and to pay off and to provide return? And third, what are we doing today? What decisions are we making today in 2011 that's going to affect where we are in the year 2031, the year 2041? If you look at that, and if you also look at the fact that investments in children are not what's driving the deficit in this country. It's not what's driving the deficit for the most part in the states. Obviously, education is a big part of the state budget, but the investment in education is not the driver of the high deficits. So we would encourage states to recognize what the research tells us. Children growing up in poverty are going to be less likely to be contributing in the long term. They're less likely to complete their education, to be employed. They're more likely to be involved in the criminal justice systems and in substance abuse, et cetera. So doing what we can to create a path of opportunity for their families is a good investment in the future. And number two, all the research tells us that investing early in children is critical. So investing in prenatal care and high-quality child care and preschool, investing to make sure that every child shows up at kindergarten healthy and prepared to succeed, and investing in the early elementary years so that during the years when children are learning how to read, we're ensuring that they get to the end of third grade fully prepared to move forward so they can read to learn. This is one of the best predictors of whether kids are on a path, not just to educational success, but to economic success.
That's Patrick McCarthy, President and CEO of the N.E. Casey Foundation, the Baltimore-based nonprofit, which released its annual Kids Count report today, a national study showing that child poverty in the U.S. increased in 38 states between 2000 and 2009. Patrick, thank you.
Thank you very much.